I'm still working on Steve's next to last speech. Steve, I don't believe that simply because God uses means that necessarily means it won't always come to pass. That's not what I'm saying. But when God uses means, and that means is the Word of God, then you admit that men can reject the Word of God and not obey. So that particular means can be rejected. When He uses the Word of God as a means, then it can be rejected. And then, I can't quote what he said about 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, which says, Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. But whatever he said, he's retracted that it means that he keeps them from being lost. Because he's admitting, and he sees now, that it's talking about not just believers, but also unbelievers. Because Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Those that believe. So it's talking about unbelievers. So he's retracting. Now he says it meant something like, well, any men are being living very being in that passage. So it doesn't mean that safety, as he brought it up in his first speech, means it keeps them from being lost. Well, as long as you retract it, we don't need to debate it, because I'm not debating the limited atonement tonight. And then he brought up Matthew 24:24 and said something about the Greek, and we would have to check that out, but I gave you three parallel passages, and none of them meant that it was impossible. You wouldn't think any of them meant that they were impossible. So if they're parallel to Matthew 24:24, and you didn't deny it, then they would show Matthew 24:24 is not saying that that was impossible. I gave you cases of where the elect were deceived. And then he said, we brought the passage about the love of many can wax cold. He said, well, that, since it was many, shows you it was talking about bad love. He didn't use that word, but it was not sincere, a true Christian's kind of love. Well, so then turn to Revelation 2, verse 4, if you want to do that. It says there that many had left their first love. How does it put this? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Is that talking about Christians or not? Had they become Christians? They had left their first love. Now, if that's Christians, that was good love. Leaving that means now they have no love or they have bad love, right? Which shows you can lose your love for God. Which shows this passage that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't prove perseverance because you can lose your love. The only other choice we have is that they left their first love. Their first love, they weren't really Christians. It was bad love. So if they left that love, now they have good love. So which was it, Steve? Did they leave their good love for bad love, or did they leave their bad love and become good? I don't think it was leaving the bad for good. They're not complimented here. It was leaving good for bad. So it shows that a Christian can lose the good love that he had. Therefore, that's when he quits keeping the commandments. And next, let's go to Romans 8:30. He says, so the same number of people, the same number were justified, and the same number will be glorified. That's right, Steve. But remember, we're not talking about a list of names. We're talking about a class. So the people who are willing to conform themselves to the image of the Son, those will all be justified, and those will all be glorified. That class. And then he said, Romans 8:33, Jesus died only for the elect. Steve, I'm not arguing the atonement. That's not why I keep bringing up Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8. I'm not arguing the atonement. If we felt like we could get good attendance, we would definitely have, won't have a debate on that. I like debating that topic. But I'm not arguing that. That's not why I brought it up. I'm using the fact that you believe in the limited atonement to my advantage. In a way, I'm sort of granting that. Not really, but I'm saying, if that is so, I'm not arguing against it. Now let's see what it proves. So let's do that. Now, I'm not arguing against the atonement. I'm saying, Steve believes that if somebody, Christ died for somebody, that proves that he's of the elect or saved. So I'm saying, let's assume that is so. Let's assume Steve's position is so. I'm not arguing against that. Though I don't believe it, but I'm not arguing. I'm using it to help prove that who I think is a Christian, because it says brother, is a Christian. Now, I've had six speeches, and I brought this text up, Romans 14:15, in all six speeches, and Steve has never referred to it not one time. Now, he's talked about the first part of Romans 14 and the weak brother, but every time he does that, he never talks about for whom Christ died, and he hadn't done the 1 Corinthians 8 either. Now, he did finally respond to 2 Peter 2, verse 1, and he talked about Jesus bought the field. Of course, we showed that parable is not talking about Jesus, it's talking about the person seeking the Lord. But I said, okay, let's just forget that one. Since you found that you think Jesus bought the field, the world, but you don't believe Jesus died, shed his blood for the world, do you? The non-elect. Let's just go to these two passages. And out of six speeches that I've said, this is my sixth, he would only have a chance to reply to five. He has never replied to Romans 14:15 or 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11. He's never explained to us how a person for whom Christ died could be D-A-M-N-E-D. He's never said that. He's never said this is not of the elect. He said Romans 14:1, that's not the elect, but he's never said this verse is not. Now, this one says, for whom Christ died. Yet it says that he can be condemned. And the same way with 1 Corinthians 8, he's never responded to that, though I brought it up in every speech. Here's a brother who might perish for whom Christ died. I would expect him to either say, well, maybe Jesus died for the non-elect in some sense. He never did that. Okay? Or he would say, this is just a professed brother. Well, no, he can't do that. It would be the same as the other. He could say, this perish is just a physical perishing. He never did that. I tried to show that it was a spiritual perishing. I mentioned John 3:16 every time I brought up this chart. He never responded to this argument. Not once. This is the sixth time I brought up every speech. Now, I'm not arguing against the limited atonement. That would be a fine thing to debate, but I'm not doing that. I'm using the fact that he believes in the limited atonement to help prove once saved, always saved is true. I believe I can tell this is a Christian because it's written to a church, not Jews in the flesh, and he calls them brothers, a brother in Christ. But you should believe it's a person that's of the elect because it said for whom Christ died, because you believe that Jesus only died for the elect. I'm using that fact to help me. I'm not arguing against it, Steve. Okay? But I am willing to have a debate if we think we can get a crowd out. But anyway, it's a person who's of the elect according to Steve's own position, yet it says he can perish spiritually. Next, let's go to Romans 8:38-39. He says, that passage talks about a few different things, and it says, in conclusion, none of these things... none of these things, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You notice there's one person that's conspicuously absent here. The person himself who might be separated from the Lord. Now, turn to Jude verse 21. Well, I have it on the chart. I say, that's right, no outside factor can separate. Casey's thinking, focus that right here. It's not focused. That's right, no outside factor can separate a Christian from the love of God. But the issue is, can a Christian separate himself from the love of God? And what did Jude verse 21 say? Keep yourselves in the love of God. That is a command to us, to keep ourselves in the love of God. So it's obvious then that it's possible for our own volition to leave the Word of God. Nobody else can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8. God will not allow the devil or anybody else to take us away from salvation by force, but we can voluntarily leave. We can voluntarily leave the love of God. This verse says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. We can do it. John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They did it. Nobody else could force them. They did it. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, that's holy brethren, according to verse 1, two or three times. Steve said this is professed brethren, and once he said, at least he said it was a real brother. It's a real brother, it's a holy brother. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief that departing from the living God. Can I depart from God? Nobody can take me, force me away from God if I don't want to, but I can depart. Revelation 3 verse 11 says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So can a man force you to take your crown by force? No, but you can allow another man to take your crown. A good example of that is if a false teacher led you astray. He can't force you to lose your salvation, but you can allow him. If a blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, Matthew 15, verse 14. So you can answer 1 Peter 4, verse 19 that way also, with Jude, verse 21. He brought up 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Okay? Who's doing the keeping there? Who did you say is doing the keeping? Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. It's the Christian, not God, in that particular case. It's the Christian who's keeping their souls to him, to God. It wouldn't matter. We see that G verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. We have that responsibility. And if we don't keep ourselves in the love of God, then we would be lost. That's clear. Now let's turn back to John 6:37, and I can answer this the same way I've answered at least five or six of your arguments, Steve. John 6, verse 37, says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Okay? So, that's right. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. God would never cast out any single person, not even one that is coming to him. That's not what the debate's about. What about a person that quits coming to Jesus? What about a person that quits coming to Jesus? Now remember, how does God give here? How does God give? Compare 65 to 44 and 45. We see that God gives through the drawing of the Word. It says, no man can come to the Father except the Father No man can come to me except the Father give it. 65 and verse 44 says the same thing. He says, how did he do it? No man can come to me except the Father draw it. It's through the teaching of the gospel, learning. 15, you're giving me 15 minutes, right? Okay. So that's how the Father gives. It's the successful drawing. Sometimes you can have an unsuccessful drawing. This passage is talking about a successful drawing. Like in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. There's a calling where God asks people to become Christians. It's not always successful. Some reject it. Romans 8 is about those that are predestinated and all that are called. That's a successful calling. That means they're called in the sense that God asks and they accept. This is the successful drawing. God gives the successful drawing. We're not talking about the people He draws and they reject. So He will lose none of those. None of those that He successfully draws with the Word of God will He lose. Only those that He unsuccessfully draws. Now, is it His fault? No, it's their fault. They refuse. Remember John 15, 2 through 6? Steve admitted in a question that these have to be Christians, these branches, elect, because it says they're clean through the Word. Yet it says if they do not bear fruit, He takes them away and He burns them. He prunes them and He burns them. That's everlasting punishment. He admitted this has to be talking about the person that's of the elect, forgiven because they're clean through the Word. Notice what happens though. If they don't bear fruit, the Lord prunes them and takes them and burns them. Everlasting punishment. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul speaking, he said he had to keep his body under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preached to others, I should be a castaway. The Greek word translated castaway, and I brought this up at least four times in debate. I don't remember Steve ever replying to it. The Greek word translated castaway, Vance, is in the New Testament eight times. Once it's translated castaway in the King James Version. Once it's translated rejected. And six times it's translated reprobate in the King James Version. What does reprobate mean? Rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. So Paul recognized that if he didn't keep his body under subjection, if he didn't overcome temptation, sin, that even he himself could become a castaway, a reprobate, that is, somebody rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. And then we've also brought up this passage, James 5, 19 to 20, talking about a brother. He errs from the truth. Steve believes that's impossible. We need to convert him. If we can convert him, we can save his soul from death. Implying, if he's not converted back, this brother, one who's become a Christian, could lose his soul spiritually. That's pretty conclusive, isn't it? Revelation 3, verse 5, we brought this up in almost every speech. Steve has responded to this. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Whatever Revelation 13 and 17 means, what we're talking about here is, what about a person whose name is in the book of life? Whenever it got there, that means he saved, right? Now, this verse shows it's possible, and also Revelation 22, 19, to get his name blotted out. Steve would agree. Name in the book of life, that's saved. It could get blotted out. That means no longer saved. Or name in the book of life, that means elect. Blotted out, that means no longer of the elect. So that proves once saved, always saved is just not true. Hebrews 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, holy brethren, according to verse 1, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Steve believes a person that's really become a holy brother cannot fail to persevere. He will persevere. It's guaranteed. This verse says that this holy brother, that it's possible for them to develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. Do you really think he's going to be saved in that condition? If not, then you don't believe in once saved, always saved. Galatians 5, 4, the standard Baptist position, that one way they put it is once saved, always saved. The other way they put it is, a Christian can't fall from grace. This says, you are falling from grace to some Christians. 2 minutes. That's more than I thought. Thank you. I was hurrying so fast to try to get through it. 2 Peter 1, 9 through 11, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Is this talking about just a professed Christian or a true Christian? Well, he's purged from his old sins. It's talking about a Christian. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. According to Steve's position, that's impossible. You could never make your election sure. You know, because you can't lose it. For if you do these things, talking about the Christian graces mentioned in verses 5 through 7, you shall never fall. Implying that if you don't put into practice the Christian graces, you will fall. And, notice he says you shall never fall. Then he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That implies that if you don't even put into practice what we call the Christian graces, you will fall and you will miss out on the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, heaven. Now this is talking about somebody who's purged from his old sins, a Christian. He could fall and miss out on heaven, according to this passage. It's clear, isn't it? So, in conclusion, remember Romans 14, a brother for whom Christ died. He can be D-A-M-N-E-D. And also, number 9, another one for whom Christ died, a brother, can perish spiritually. I think those are very clear. Let me join with Stephen in saying thank you for coming. And that it was good that we got to hear both sides in this discussion. We have a different topic tonight, just for one session, unconditional election at 7 o'clock. We hope you'll come. I agree with Steve that we need to, if possible, have as many Bible studies as we can. And that's all this is a Bible study. We get to hear both sides. Right. So we're not enemies. We're friends. And we appreciate you coming. And
Amen.
We both exhort you to accept whatever the Bible says.
Right.
So it's up to you to go home and study it out and decide what the Bible actually said on this subject. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat. Amen.